flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. John Kincaid, who used to host here back when we were CBS Sports Radio, now he is the morning drive host on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia. He's going to stop by. We'll reconnect with him at 4:20 p.m. Eastern, 1:20 p.m. Pacific today as we get closer and closer to next Sunday, as you will have Super Bowl 59 between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. I want to start the show actually talking about Arch Manning, because the Arch Manning hype is something I've never seen before. And I know what people could say. Zach, there was hype around Sidney Crosby. Zach, there was hype around Connor McDavid. Zach, there was hype around LeBron James. Also Shohei Ohtani when he was coming over to the United States. And you're all right about that. But with Arch Manning, the hype is always, oh, we'll push it to the back burner. It's for next year. Right? When he was in high school, it was, what college is Arch going to pick? Then he picks Texas. He gets to Texas. He sits for 2 years, but through all that, even though Quinn Ewers was a really good quarterback there, won a Big 12 championship, got to an SEC championship game, got to another Final Four of the college football playoff in the first ever 12-team college football playoff, like Quinn Ewers, for someone that accomplished a lot, was really underappreciated in the national media landscape because we all saw the big brand of Texas. We all looked at Steve Sarkisian and we said, look at what Sark is doing. Also with the former number one overall recruit in Quinn Ewers. Just wait to see how this thing could really take off and really soar and thrive with the great Arch Manning. You know, that's what we've always been told. And it's crazy. I know he started a few games last year because of the injuries to Quinn Ewers. But we have never seen Arch Manning play a full college football season where he was the starter from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And when you take a glance at him, I understand the hype, right? He's a Manning. You look at what his family has done with the three NFL quarterbacks that they have produced And obviously, in more recent memory, you've had Peyton Manning, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. To me, the fourth best quarterback in the history of the league behind Mahomes, Montana, and Tom Brady. And he's someone that won multiple league MVPs, two Super Bowl championships, and is in Canton, Ohio. Now, after next week, even though I don't think he needs to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, in all likelihood, Eli Manning will probably be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And we know what Eli Manning did. Top 10 passing yards all time, top 10 passing touchdowns, two Super Bowl championships, and slayed the greatest dynasty that the NFL has ever seen. Not once, but twice, especially one time when they were going for perfection, and Eli cemented his name in NFL history by winning not one, but two Super Bowls, and not one, but two Super Bowl MVPs. So when you have a Manning name, and it's one of the most, if not the most famous name, like last name and lineage in NFL history, obviously there's going to be buzz, there's going to be big expectations, and it wasn't as if, because we've seen superstars right before, and I know it's not Eli's or Peyton's kids, but in this case, their nephew, we've seen family members before that are really big football lineage that don't get hype like this because they're not perceived to be this talented and they go to smaller schools or they're lesser in the spotlight because there's not that much attention around him. You look at this entire scenario where it's just check, check, check and drama. You have the last name Manning. You're supposed to be great. There was so much buzz. Your high school games were getting televised on national TV. You picked Texas. You stayed at Texas. And there's also a little mystery with Arch Manning. Because we've seen Arch Manning. We've seen him play in a few games. We've seen his mobility, right? When he had that 70-yard touchdown run earlier in the season, everyone made the same joke. You know, Peyton and Eli couldn't even do that in their dreams. But we haven't seen this guy command a football team from start to finish. And since we are waiting and waiting and waiting, and there's really no clear, concrete observations to make other than guessing and projecting, it adds the fuel to the fire, and it adds to the cauldron of the drama, right? The stir-up, and also just the wheel of what is this guy going to be, and it keeps on spinning and spinning and spinning. Because sometimes in our society, we praise people too quickly based off things that they do, and also if they're not up to par, we also write them off too quickly. How quick are we to say someone's great or someone's a bust? But since we haven't seen this guy be a starting quarterback yet on the college level, we keep on speculating and projecting what he could do. So I heard Cam Newton on First Take on ESPN. And this is another instance, right? When Arch was in high school, what college he's going to pick? When Arch got to Texas, oh, he's not playing right away. Just wait till next year. Just wait till we start to see Arch Manning get the reins of the Texas Longhorns program. He is now going to be, barring any injury, the obvious starter week one for Texas. The keys have been passed. The baton has been passed from Quinn Ewers to Arch Manning. And before he could even start a game in the year of 2025, we are already talking about teams tanking for Arch Manning and just throwing it out there. And we've seen right before, tank for Tua, right? There have been quarterbacks before that we thought can be really damn good and be great and change a franchise around where either you think the organization is tanking or not, the conversation is there. Well, you want to talk about a big name. You also want to talk about big brands. You want to talk about an owner that could be a little wacky and a little zany and a little crazy. Well, you could also talk about now, I guess you could say, an analyst, a talk show host in Cam who was on the ESPN. And Cam, to his credit, and most of the things that he says on ESPN, I end up disagreeing with. And I'm like, you know, what is he talking about? Like when Cam went after Notre Dame and said no one wants to see him in the college football playoff, and they wind up in the national championship game. And his then take was, oh, well, they need to join a conference, right? Even Cam yesterday, he moves the needle. Say what you want about Cam. He moves the needle. Cam yesterday, we had conversations about him saying he'd rather have his MVP than a Super Bowl trophy. Well, Cam did what every good national talk show host does. He takes a big name and a big conversation like Arch Manning, and he somehow finds a way to make a link to the Dallas Cowboys. Listen up to Cam and the tank job he believes the Cowboys are orchestrating right now?
I think they're tanking for Arch.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow.
Coach Schottenheimer has one and done written all over him.
I think they have to tank.
He got one and done written all over him. Okay, why do you want it done? You get the first pick of the draft. Okay? Not only that, I'm going to go back into my godfather bag and say, okay, Jerry Jones is a businessman, and he's going to get in his Don Corleone, you know what I'm saying, mentality, and he's going to give him a deal that he can't refuse. Who? Nick Saban. Go get Nick Saban as your head coach. Go draft Arch Manning as the number one pick. Man, that's...
There's so much there to unpack. There's a lot there to unpack. Now, number one, this year probably went as bad as it possibly could for the Dallas Cowboys. And they're not in position to get either Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, if we're just being transparent. So do I think the Cowboys will be worse than what they were this past year coming up in 2025? No, I do not. Because whether you love Dak Prescott or not, Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. So if Dak is healthy, along with CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons, you know, bare minimum, this should be a 7 or 8 win football team. And if you're a 7 or 8 win football team, you're not in position to go get Arch Manning if Arch balls out and if Arch is going to be in the conversation for the top pick of the draft come 2025. So do I think the Cowboys are tanking heading into this year? No, I don't. Also, do I believe that Brian Schottenheimer, even though I don't think he should be the head coach of the Drama Dallas Choking Cowboys, do I think he'll be one and done? No, I do not. Because I believe a big misnomer about Jerry Jones is that he isn't loyal, right? And he's impulsive, and he reacts, and he's very quick to get rid of guys. Look how long they kept Jason Garrett. Look how long, right, they kept Mike McCarthy. Jerry Jones doesn't come off as someone when Brian Schottenheimer is his handpicked guy because he can control him, because the Cowboys are all about drama and power, that's going to get rid of Brian Schottenheimer after 1 year. And also, can I just ask a simple question here? If you tell me Bill Belichick's going to the Cowboys a year from now, I could see it. Right? I could see Bill want to get back in the NFL game. He'll put up with Jerry's shenanigans because this is really the last call that Bill Belichick has, because the last 2 years, the first time he was shut out of the hiring cycle, and this past year, I think he was afraid, and I think it was a gross miscalculation by Bill. He was afraid he was going to get shut out, and he made the rush move to go to UNC. But Bill Belichick's close friend in Nick Saban, I can't see him putting up with Jerry Jones's nonsense. And yes, I do think if Nick Saban ever were to return to coaching, and he's talked about this before, right? He said it with the pivot, it wouldn't be in college. You're not leaving Alabama when you built Alabama back up to being a premier program and being the program in all of college football. And right, you and Paul Bear Bryant, right? Those are two legendary names in the college football coaching world, and you are considered to be the GOAT of college football. You're not leaving Alabama to go somewhere else. Right, to leave for 2-3 years and then come back. Now, hey, I don't think that Kalen DeBoer is going to be run out of town, but if things really went wrong this year and Saban's like, yeah, I want to go back to Alabama, that's the only spot that he could go back to coach college football. Now, could I see potentially Nick sitting there saying, man, I miss coaching, and the only reason I left was I didn't want to deal with the nonsense of name, image, and likeness in the transfer portal, so I'll go back to the NFL, and that's the one blemish on my resume? Is that I was in Miami for 2 years, and I wasn't horrible, but I wasn't great. So could I see a guy like Nick Saban, who's addicted to coaching, getting that itch and going back to the NFL? Yes. But do I see him going to Dallas? Do I see him working with Jerry Jones? Absolutely not. So it's weird that we're in this spot again with Arch Manning, because I want to appreciate Arch, and I want to just see him perform well in the moment. But the thing with Arch Manning is it's always about what's next and where we are a year from now. So let's hear from Arch Manning. And this is Arch Manning on ESPN with Marty Smith on all the crazy hype and expectations for him.
I'm not here to take someone off the throne or like, I'm not worried about my legacy. I'm just worried about playing ball and winning games.
What comes with your last name?
that we can't understand because we don't have it?
I think a lot of undeserved attention, but hopefully it gets more deserving in the next few months.
Undeserved? Why do you feel like it's undeserved? When you were the number one recruit in the country, Arch.
Yeah, I don't think I've done enough yet to be taking a lot of pictures at restaurants and signing autographs, but maybe that'll come eventually.
See, you hear that, and you go, how can't you root for this guy? Because he has been thrown into this crazy world, right, with his last name, with the projections about him. And sometimes, right, you would think that would get to someone's head. And, right, all quarterbacks have ego. If you're a star quarterback, you have to have some sort of alpha, some sort of dog, right, in you. But the way he projects himself publicly is really respectful, which should be no surprise when you got to see how your uncles operated for all those years with Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. But I think it's fascinating by sport. You look at hockey, right, in the last 30 years. Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, heralded as like the next faces of the sport. The great players, right? They could go chase like a Wayne Gretzky, right? Those are the expectations for those guys. Sidney Crosby has obviously lived up to the hype. Connor McDavid has been the best player in hockey for the last few years. And the only thing missing from his resume is hoisting a Stanley Cup. And he got to a Stanley Cup final this past year. You look at the NBA. Maybe the most hype prospect ever, LeBron James in the history of sports. And LeBron James was an instant star from day one and will go down in all likelihood as the second greatest basketball player of all time. Major League Baseball. There was a ton of hype around Bryce Harper. There have been some ups, there have been some downs, but you look back at Bryce Harper and you say he's an unbelievable player, right? And the one thing Bryce is still chasing is a championship. He was great with the Nationals. And he's been great with the Philadelphia Phillies. Ohtani, now a little bit different because Ohtani was coming over from Japan with professional baseball and he was coming to the States. But Ohtani was such a mystery because most of us have never seen him actually play a game because it was just all off like YouTube highlights and things like that. And he was kind of praised as what Babe Ruth was, except better. And so far in Ohtani's career, he's not only an elite pitcher when healthy, but he is one of the greatest hitters I've ever seen. So look at those sports, NHL, NBA, and also Major League Baseball. In the last 30 years, the chosen ones have lived up to the hype. But when you're talking about generational talents, right, we've seen number one picks not live up to the hype. But not all number one picks are praised as generational talents. But you look at those guys in their respective sports, Crosby, McDavid, LeBron, Bryce, and Ohtani, they've all lived up to the hype. Except in the NFL. The last three generational guys, I think we have questions about when it comes to the quarterback position. Like Andrew Luck, generational talent. Andrew Luck was well on his way to being a Hall of Fame quarterback. Unfortunately, injuries derailed his career. Trevor Lawrence. We've heard about Trevor Lawrence, right, for 2-3 years. Teams are going to tank for Trevor. Trevor Lawrence so far has not lived up to the hype of being a generational quarterback. And just this past year, and I think it, in a weird way, it could actually hurt you when you win a Heisman Trophy and then you have to go back to college because it's very tough to top that. Now, for Caleb, it was, okay, can you make the playoffs? Can you go win a national championship? All that stuff. But Caleb Williams was considered a generational talent. And I'm not going to say that he's a bust yet because I think that's way too premature. And let's see what he does with Ben Johnson. But in year one, he was outplayed by Jaden Daniels. So I wonder what's going to happen with Arch Manning. First, what is he going to do this year at Texas? Will he be the number one overall pick of the draft next year? And with all this hype, will he be able to meet it in the NFL? Because in other sports, when you've been praised for years and years and years and years and years, you know, we look at the players, they've given you the players, Ohtani, Bryce Harper, LeBron, McDavid, Crosby, they've all lived up to the hype. But the last three perceived generational talents at the quarterback position in the NFL, it hasn't worked out so far for Trevor Lawrence, Andrew Luck's career is already over, and Caleb Williams, there are giant question marks after him after one season. So I can't wait to see how we're talking about Arch Manning this time next year. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I got Stupak, I got Moist Mike here with me today as well. When we come on back, Saquon Barkley has paid off in a big way and I mean a massive way, for the Philadelphia Eagles. What are some of the best free agent signings in the history of sports? We'll give you our answers next. Off and running on a very busy Friday. At Zach Gelb on Twitter and Instagram, ZACHGELB. You can always hit me up on my phone lines, 855-212-4227.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. Saquon Barkley, right, when he left the Giants, it was highly publicized. And also, it was reiterated and kind of reshowed over the summer when Hard Knocks had that new off-season kind of deal where they were basically following around Joe Shane, and those negotiations that we already knew happened were then months later showed publicly, and it rehashed the entire conversation. But you look at the payoff right now. You've seen Saquon Barkley become obviously a enormous move for the Philadelphia Eagles, but someone that has been their best player in a year that they go to the Super Bowl, and he has given us not the best, but one of the best seasons we've ever seen from an NFL running back. And also a time when the running back position was devalued, and we all sat there and said, okay, you could win by running back by committees. You don't need a bell cow back. Like, you look at these teams that win, Chiefs running back by committee, Eagles when they won, running back by committee, Patriots and all their Super Bowls, running back by committee. We've seen so many running back by committees where I would argue the last bell cow back to win a Super Bowl was Marshawn Lynch. If you look back at it with the Seattle Seahawks, you know, that was the last guy that was a bell cow back to win a Super Bowl. But other than that, most of these teams that win have been operating with running back by committees. Now, you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, Saquon Barkley is their bell cow back. And you've also seen a year where Derrick Henry also went to the Ravens and was their bell cow back as well. So I don't know what this will mean for the lasting impact and what will happen from 5 years from now. But teams are copycats in this league, and I think you could open it up for the next few off seasons, like one or two, where if there's a big-name running back on the market, teams may be more inclined to go get them. But also, how many backs close to Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry are going to be available. That's the other part of the conversation. But what has worked so perfectly for Saquon and for Derrick Henry was the quarterbacks that they went to, right? Because both their quarterbacks are dual threat guys, so it makes it even tougher to defend Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry, because just defending those guys on their own is very tough. But when you have two mobile quarterbacks that can also fake the handoff, run it themselves, fake the handoff, throw the football, it makes it very tough to defend. So let's do this right now. With the impact that we've seen for Saquon Barkley, with going from the Giants to the Eagles, who is the greatest free agency signing in the history of sports? And the guy that I'm going to highlight, and I know he's moved around a bunch in his career, but I'm going to go with Randy Johnson when he elected to sign with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He won a Cy Young in 99, 2000, 2001, and 2002. That would be like a quarterback switching teams and then winning four MVP trophies back to back to back to back. He also won a World Series MVP, won a World Series for the Diamondbacks in their earlier stages in their franchise, was a Triple Crown winner in 2002, and also with the Arizona Diamondbacks, led the league in ERA in 99, 2001, 2002, also was the strikeout leader in 99, 2000, 2001, and 2002. And, oh yeah, by the way, if that wasn't good enough for you, he pitched a perfect game in 2004. So think about what he accomplished in that stretch from 99 to 2004. Individual awards, check, and then some. All-star games over and over again, check, and then some. World Series championship, check. So Randy Johnson, to me, I could argue, is the greatest free agency signing in the history of sports. Just going to the Arizona Diamondbacks, being elite individually, ERA leader, Cy Young Award winners, Triple Crown winner, led the MLB in wins even 1 year in 2002. Then also individual worlds awards, World Series MVP, all the All-Stars that come with it. And the franchise won a championship together. And man, that 1-2 punch, right, with the co-MVPs, and you saw Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling, man, that was such an intimidating 1-2 punch. So I go with Randy Johnson there with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Stu, if I know you the way that I know you,
yes,
I think I know where you're going to go. Mm-hmm. So go praise your purple and gold with the Lakers.
Yeah, mine is Shaquille O'Neal signing with the Lakers from the Magic in 96. Now, it took a few years for them to kind of figure things out, but once they got him under contract, they drafted Kobe, they brought in Phil Jackson as the coach, they won three straight championships, he won three straight finals MVPs, one league MVP, and not only that, when the Lakers traded him, they got back the pieces they needed to kind of rebuild and win two more championships 6-7 years later. So I think for me, Shaq is just an incredible free agent signing and kind of really changed basketball for like a decade.
And also, like, you look at the one that I gave of Randy Johnson, right? Randy Johnson, his performances were his personality. His size was his personality. But in terms of him actually talking, Randy Johnson wasn't a big personality. Shaquille O'Neal, enormous on the court and then off the court, as good of a personality that you could have in the history of sports from a big time, big moment type of player. When you look back at that, you know, Shaq, absolutely one of the greatest free agency signings ever. So I took Randy Johnson. Stu takes Shaquille O'Neal. Santer, I have no clue where you're going to go. I think you're the wild card in this one, right? I set the tone with Randy Johnson. I knew what Stu was going. You know, you could have said, Zach, put your entire net worth, put your entire bank account, your 401k, all on what Stu was going to do, and it would have been the easiest bet of my life. I knew Stu, being that Laker honk that he is, was going to take the Lakers, and also there's great logic on why he ended up taking Shaquille O'Neal with the Lakers as the greatest free agency signing in the history of sports. So Randy Johnson off the board, Shaquille O'Neal off the board. Samter, where do you go? Actually, let me ask you a question. I'm going to say yours is not football. Yes or no?
That's correct.
It's not football.
Correct. There were two football players who I considered, but I did not go with them.
Who were the two that you could consider?
Drew Brees with the Saints.
Which is one, by the way, that was the tough one for me. I knew Stu was going to take Shaquille O'Neal. I was between Randy Johnson and Drew Brees because Drew Brees, for me, is my greatest what-if in sport history, as we talked about before. If Drew Brees elected to stay with the go to the Miami Dolphins, or the Dolphins passed his physical, how many things that would have changed with Nick Saban, with Alabama, with Sean Payton, with the Saints, even with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, because they actually would have had a force in that division. So I was really thinking Drew Brees. But when you win like four Cy Young Awards in a row, a World Series and a World Series MVP, I just had to give all those other things that we call tiebreakers to the big unit in Randy Johnson. So yours is not NFL.
No, the other one that I had besides Drew Brees in the NFL was Reggie White.
Yeah, great
who
one.
Who was a monster with the... But if you look at how good he was with the Eagles, he was 10 times better with the Eagles than he was with the Packers. As good as he was with the Packers, he was better with the Eagles.
Won a championship, though, with the Packers, too.
This is true. And he won a DPOY with the Packers, mm-hmm. but he was like a 9-time first-team all-pro with the Eagles or something.
DPOY. I know what you mean, defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
But I've seen that written that way. I've never heard someone be like, oh, he's got a DPOY.
So I came down...
Well, hold on.
Oh.
So it's not NFL.
Not NFL.
I'm going to say it's not NBA.
That was my number two. That was my backup.
Okay, what was your backup?
LeBron James with the Miami Heat.
Yeah, especially the way that it happened with the decision. Now,
if he had stayed longer than 4 years, I would have gone with the Heat. But he was there for 4 years. They went to four finals, 1-2, but it was only a four-year period.
It's weird to say this. I expected more out of LeBron and that Heat team. And it didn't necessarily go the way that we thought it was. Yes, they won two championships. They lost the first year to Dallas. Then they come on back. They win the championship with the up against the Thunder. Then they win the one up against the Spurs, and they lose the one up against the Spurs. But when you do a press conference, and I know, right, injuries played a part with what happened with Chris Bosh and the medical stuff, and then also with Dwayne Wade. But when you do a press conference, you say, we're going to win not one, not two, not three, not four, but 7,000 championships. And you go 2-for-4. Yeah, you got to the finals every year. It was a great era, but I thought they would have won more than what they've won. Okay, so it's not NBA, it's not NFL. And I gave baseball. So I don't think you're going baseball. Are you going baseball?
I'm going baseball.
Okay, what was your baseball?
You've got the wrong mid-90s, late 2000s, early 2000s. Yes, pitcher. Greg Maddux, he won a Cy Young with the Cubs, then went to the Braves. Every year that he was with the Braves, they won the division. They won the 95 World Series. He also won four straight Cy Youngs, one with the Cubs and then three with the Braves. The thing with Randy Johnson, the D-backs were good for a couple years, won that one series, but they weren't like dominant over a period of a long period of time. When Maddux went to the Braves, that was the team of the 90s. That was the team of the entire decade. Granted, they only won that one Super Bowl, but that was the team of the decade,
you
at least in the
championship?
NL.
Championship?
What?
Championship?
What'd I say?
Super Bowl.
Yeah, there you go. They only won one World Series.
You know, if Greg Maddux won a World Series, the President's Trophy, and then won a Super Bowl, I would give it to you.
You mean the Tom Brady Trophy?
Yeah. The Deion Sanders a little bit,
yeah.
You know?
No, but so for me, it's Maddux. And as much as I love Randy Johnson because he's a lefty, if I had to choose Maddux or Johnson all time, I'm going Maddux.
Okay. So you go Greg Maddux, Stu goes Shaquille O'Neal, and I take Randy Johnson for the greatest free agent signings in the history of sports. Marco Belletti is here. Capitan, how you been?
How's it going, Zach?
All right, I got to ask you something. Because I look at Marco Belletti, and I see a passionate sports fan in front of me, right? Mm. And I know you're a Yankee fan because you never take off that Yankee hat of yours. But I also know that you're a very dedicated Giant fan, but you're a somewhat rational Giant fan.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at a year later? Saquon Barkley, right? Once they didn't get the deal done 2 years ago, they were never getting the deal done this past offseason. Saquon Barkley is now with the Eagles, and he's 60 minutes away from winning a Super Bowl. Where are you all at a year later, emotion-wise, as Saquon now and the Eagles about to potentially hoist the Lombardi?
Emotion-wise? I mean, I'm pissed, but I'm not pissed because I thought the Giants should have kept him. That was the right move. They had to let him go. And Barkley would have never done this with the Giants. So
yeah. The
idea that, like, oh, if you'd have just kept him, you'd be in the Super Bowl, too. No, you wouldn't.
Yeah,
you had him for six years.
Stupid.
You sucked. That's nonsense. So it's hard to watch because it's the Eagles and it's a rival and he's taking them to another level and you're seeing how good he could have been if the Giants were good enough around him to be able to do what he's doing. But This would have never happened with the Giants. So it's irrational to for the Giant fans to feel like, well, we missed that. You didn't miss anything. You had him. You weren't good. He was never going to be good with you. Now it just sucks to see him be where he is.
Yeah, if he was with the Houston Texans, he could have had an incredible season, but I don't think this would have been a big national story.
It would sting, but it wouldn't hurt. This is different. This hurts, but it only hurts because it's the Eagles. So it's a different concept, and it's just one of those things. It's almost the perfect storm. You knew he had to go. If you had any brains in your head, you knew he had to go. You just didn't want to see him go there and get to where he had to get to, and you know that's what it is.
Now, you're a wild card sometimes, so I would anticipate that you're rooting for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, but if you told me it was the Eagles, I guess I wouldn't be shocked, because whenever you expect something with Marco, maybe the other thing happens. Who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl?
This is not even a question. The Chiefs.
Okay.
I won't deny this. And I say this, and I'll wear my heart on my sleeve. I don't care. Eagles in the playoffs, it's a hate watch for me.
Ooh.
It's a hate watch.
Well, spike pick there.
All the way through for 60 minutes. I'm locked in with every play to the point where I actually heard my kids in the other room go, my oldest, who's 10 years old, actually said out loud during the Eagles-Rams game, I thought the Giants sucked and they weren't in the playoffs. Why are you so animated? Wow. In the other room watching me watch the Eagles and Rams.
So I
it's
know
a hate watch.
I know you want the Chiefs to win.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think will?
I do think they'll win. This is going to be tough, but I do think they'll win. I think Spags is going to dial something up to be able to contain Saquon, which is all that they're going to make the Eagles beat them in a different way. Spags is good at that, and the Chiefs are good at that. And bottom line, when it's not Barkley, I don't fully trust their offense to be able to get the big plays with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, even though they got playmakers. And then on the other side, as good as the Eagle defense has been and they'll limit the big plays, that'll be 1,000 paper cuts, because I feel like Patrick Mahomes, you just can't slow him down for an entire 60 minutes. So when the ball in his hands, he'll make the one play. And the Chiefs will go, you'll scratch your head. How the hell did the Chiefs get to the spot?
You really got to pounce, though.
Yeah, I mean, but
the lead's still not safe, but you got to pounce.
No, but that's the thing. I feel like the Eagles almost have to do everything perfectly, because even in the back of their mind, they're still waiting for the monster that is Mahomes and the Chiefs. And that's just a mental edge.
So what they need to do is they need to play on defense like how the Texans played up against the Chiefs on the divisional round. The problem for the Texans is they did a good job bottling up Mahomes. They didn't pounce offensively with only 6 points. Now, Hey, this same team had a double-digit lead the last time they played him in a Super Bowl, going to halftime, a 10-point lead, and they ended
Nothing's gonna be blown safe
in the second half. But if you could make that little separation with your offensive talent, hey, you still gotta find the way to have the guy be walking off the field as a loser when it says zeros on the scoreboard. But you got to just make that gap at least there and just hope that your offense can go on one big drive late.
Again, it's not big plays. It's small plays. Limit them to field goals if you can. Tighten up in the red zone. And the opposite of what the Eagles like to do. It's more ball control with Barkley. Get him a lot of touches. Get first downs. Not necessarily 56-yard runs into the end zone, but get enough to be able to constantly move the sticks and hold the football. These are all different and difficult things to be able to do consistently for 60 minutes. Then you throw in Andy Reid. Late with Patrick Mahomes, do they make a mistake? No, they don't. So you got to find a way to make sure that you make the play, because you can't rely on them to make a mistake.
All right, we'll take a time out here on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll come on back. We'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We'll do a news brief next. Update time first. Here is El Capitan, Marco Belletti.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
It's time to ask the pros. Where you, the listener, get to ask us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF SportsNet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, 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 low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. So we were talking about greatest free agency signings in the history of sports off of Saquon Barkley, right? We threw a few out there. Randy Johnson, Greg Maddux, Shaquille O'Neal, Drew Brees, just to name some of them that we've already discussed. And Marco goes, I have one for you. And I said, okay, well, what's yours? And this was one I considered. But when you win four straight Cy Youngs, that's what ended up doing it for me. And also a World Series and a World Series MVP. But he goes, I'll take more of the team success than the individual success. And he was also so clutch in the postseason. I think I knew where Marco was going with this one. And I go, all right, who's your guy? And he goes, Big Poppy, David Ortiz. 100% right. He was nothing in Minnesota. and how cheap he signed with the Red Sox, that run from 2003 to 2016, the three World Series championships, the World Series MVP in 2013, right, the comeback, breaking the curse, and all the Silver Slugger Awards, seven of them to be exact, and then a 10-time All-Star. Big Poppy is obviously maybe one of the best bang for your bucks in the history of sports. And that's the way that we said it. You know, it'd be tough to top Big Poppy, David Ortiz. All righty, let's go to Shador Sanders. This is courtesy of the NFL Network. Had a little comment about playing at AT&T Stadium.
Now, being in this stadium is definitely fun. I know I'll play here very soon against the Cowboys.
So I saw that blasted all over the internet, and he's like, that means Shador Sanders is going to the Cowboys. And I'm like, hold on, what? Did everyone just hear the audio that I said? He'll be playing there very soon against the Cowboys. But the way that I saw that originally, blasted all over the place, was like, Shador Sanders excited to be playing very soon at AT&T Stadium, which is so misleading. And then you hear the actual clip and it goes, okay, where's he going to play? The Giants. I don't think there's ever been a prospect, you know, maybe outside of Eli Manning, that has made it so clear where he wants to go to more than Shador Sanders. But here's the difference. So many people about 2 months ago said, oh, Coach Prime is never going to let his son go to the Giants. Right? That's a dysfunctional organization. And then at the Heisman Trophy ceremony, when he's there supporting his teammate and Travis Hunter ended up winning the award, you have Shador Sanders throwing passes in the streets of New York City to Malik Nabers. He clearly wants to be a member of the New York Giants. Shador Sanders wants the spotlight. He wants the Big Apple. He wants the huge stage. And he wants the task of trying to salvage the New York Football Giants. And he wants to be their next quarterback. And that's brilliant. Hey, I'll soon be here going up against the Cowboys. He probably should have just said twice a year because I'm going to be a member of the New York Football Giants. Now the question just becomes, are Tennessee and Cleveland going to let him go to the Giants? That becomes the big question. Yes, Anthony.
I will just say this. The Browns and Titans do not play in Dallas next year, but the Titans do play in Dallas in 2026. So maybe Shador is thinking 2 years ahead.
You're a good football nerd, I'll say that. That's a good job. That's a good job out of you. All righty, so let's hear about the top three of the draft. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, how will the top three in the draft go?
How do the quarterbacks go? And I would say some of the Tennessee Titans brass, which kind of raised some eyebrows a little bit, saying they will not pass on a generational talent at one, leading one to believe that maybe they do not take a quarterback at one, certainly at least something worth considering. You know the Browns are probably going to take one. You know the Giants are probably going to take one.
So the Browns will probably take one and the Giants will probably take one. So if the Giants are probably taking one, that means Tennessee or Cleveland have to pass up on a quarterback. Because the Giants aren't just taking a quarterback, take a quarterback at three if Shador and Cam are off the board. So I'm just still not, and I don't know about you, Stu, I'm still not sold that Tennessee is passing up on a quarterback. As I said yesterday, if I had to pick one or the other to pass up on the quarterback, I would say Tennessee over Cleveland. But if we're sitting there on draft night and you hear, let's say, Cam Ward 1 and Shador Sanders 2, I wouldn't be shocked in the slightest. But they keep on basically pushing it out there that the Giants are getting a quarterback.
Yeah, I'll see it when I believe it. I'll see a quarterback not going 1 and 2 when I believe it.
Yeah. All righty, let's go to Brandon Graham, potentially playing in the Super Bowl.
Whatever I got to do to get ready for this one game, you know, I feel like I can do it.
So is it something where if you are able to play, you're like full go, or do you think it'll probably be a snap count?
If I'm going to go out there, it's going to be full go. You know, I'm not going to try to get in the way of, like, these guys work their butt off, you know, for this moment. Whenever coach put me in, I'm going to just make sure it's, hey, all the way. Leave it all on the field.
He clearly wants to play. I saw he practiced the other day. I would be very surprised at this point if Brandon Graham isn't playing in the Super Bowl, or at least gives it a go in the Super Bowl. And also, I think as long as he plays, I believe that's going to be his final game in the NFL. Because the injury that he suffered, right, there was already a retirement talk in the beginning of the year, and then he kind of walked it back, and then he got hurt. To me, this seems, all right, this is the ultimate closure moment. You play, you win, you ride off into the sunset. You play, you lose. Hey, I gave it everything I got. Even though I look like I was awesome until the injury. This injury really ends my career. And then you go on into the next chapter, which is for Brandon Graham. It's going to be bare minimum being a star in the Philadelphia media. He already is. But maybe he could become a national media star as well, talking football. And finally, or actually we don't have time for anything else because we're up against it. So we will wrap up the news brief right there. I'll get into later on in the show, Rick Pitino begging Kentucky fans to cheer John Calipari as he makes his return to Rupp Arena tomorrow. And also, there's a UFC fighter, Bryce Mitchell, who, I always say this, if you're ever praising Hitler, you're a moron. All right? If you're ever saying, oh, my research shows Hitler was actually a good guy, you're an idiot. So I can't believe we have to say these things, but we are saying these things. That's what Bryce Mitchell said. His research made him praise on his debut podcast, Adolf Hitler, which makes me just shake my head. And there was a response from Dana White last night. So we'll get to all of that coming up later on in the show. Whole lot to do when we come on back. The negotiations for Mike McCarthy came out. There's a report out there. And the Cowboys, well, that's why they're the Cowboys. John Kincaid also going to join us coming up at 4:20 p.m. Eastern Time. It is the Zach Gelb Show.